Welcome to the audio edition of the Christian Science Monitor Daily. It's Wednesday, May 3rd. In this daily news digest, we talk about our top story picks of the day and discuss why they matter. Thanks for joining us. I'm Amelia Newcomb.
And I'm Josh Kenworthy.
Today, Japan marked the 70th anniversary of its pacifist constitution, which specifically renounces war as a tool to resolve disputes. But the moment came with a couple of large asterisks. Japan has a military. It's known as the Self-Defense Forces. On Monday, one of its warships escorted a U.S. Navy supply ship toward the Korean Peninsula. There, it will join the USS Carl Vinson and two Japanese destroyers in military exercises. That relates to the second asterisk. Also today, Prime Minister Shinzo Abe unveiled his plan to revise that pacifist constitution. He wants, he says, to clarify the role of the self-defense forces. Few would argue that the security environment Japan confronts has changed dramatically, most recently with Kim Jong-un's intensified nuclear threats. But its World War II military aggression still hangs over Asia. That means Japan has a more fundamental challenge, addressing the fears of those who felt its sting. Mr. Abe said today that Japan must hold fast to the idea of pacifism. That outlook is deeply rooted in Japanese society, even though a slight majority of Japanese support revision. His acknowledgement could be a calming first step. Next up, we've chosen five stories, several of them on Asia, intended to lift you above the news froth to see leadership, accountability, and building bridges at work. Our first story, good diplomacy often includes a willingness to adopt new positions. That's what President Trump appears to be doing in Asia. It's a region where engagement is much needed amid a looming nuclear threat, as well as trade opportunities, and where perceptions of neglect could spur unwanted pivots by friends.
Security challenges in Asia have become the top-line concern, what with the saber-rattling being directed at North Korea, reports the Monitor's Howard LaFranchi. But beyond the symbolism of President Trump's move to withdraw from the Pacific Trade Partnership, he has done little to signal how he sees economic relations with this region of the globe. Tomorrow, his administration gets an opportunity to start sketching out what could replace President Obama's Asia pivot when foreign ministers of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations meet with Secretary of State Rex Tillerson. That opportunity is coming none too soon, some regional experts say. While the partnership with the U.S. is highly desirable for Asian countries, U.S. leadership is not the only game in town.
Yesterday, the Monitor's Dave Scott wrote of key steps toward better addressing police shootings of unarmed black men. What may be emerging is a clearer understanding of the corrosive effects of unwarranted lethal force, as well as the legal and the moral importance of greater police accountability.
The police shooting of Walter Scott in 2015 was one of the ugliest things I've reviewed, said a top police misconduct investigator, Robert Taylor. It gave every police officer in the country a black eye, and you have to show communities that police can't do this. Mr. Taylor said the Justice Department took steps toward doing just that. When former police officer Michael Slager pleaded guilty to a felony civil rights charge for Mr. Scott's death. The Monitor's Patrick Johnson reports that the struggle for justice in North Charleston, South Carolina, is part of a broader exploration of the line between deference to police and a growing imperative for officers to respect the lives of citizens. Against that backdrop, the federal resolution of Scott's killing suggests to some a path forward. Increased awareness of the damage caused by poor police training and aggressive use of force, as well as a need for empathy toward citizens, even those who are suspects.
What defines a patriot in a country riven by conflict? Muqtada al-Sadr is a fiery Shiite cleric whose Iraqi militia battled U.S. forces after the 2003 invasion. Now he is breaking tribal and religious barriers to challenge the Iraqi government. But his goal today? Reforms that upend corruption and a path that is more peaceful.
While Iraqi forces push further into the ISIS stronghold of Mosul, a fight over the future of Iraq is brewing in Baghdad, reports the Monitor's Jane Aref. As has been the case since Saddam Hussein was toppled, a mercurial cleric from a revered Shiite family is playing a leading role. Over the past two decades, Muqtada al-Sadr transformed from a young man little known outside religious circles to a militia leader who posed a major threat to U.S. forces. Now, he is re-emerging in Iraqi political life as a nationalist political figure against corruption and in favor of government reform. With Iraq's Sunni leadership deeply fragmented and accused of selling out to wealthy Gulf Arab states, Sadr's demand for an Iraqi government that benefits Iraqis has found fertile ground among some Sunnis. It's a major shift from the leading role played a decade ago by his militia, whose death squads fueled the flames of Iraq's civil war.
Many of us have been rattled by the aggressive threats of North Korea's Kim Jong-un. So it helps to better understand how the U.S. and others are countering those threats. That includes the deterrent capabilities of the U.S. military, an issue that's being reviewed as Mr. Kim voices his goal of being able to strike the U.S. mainland.
Yes, North Korea is developing intercontinental ballistic missiles and nuclear warheads intended to threaten the U.S. But the Pentagon has long been working on missile defenses intended to counter just such a menace, reports a team of Monitor reporters. It's not the perfect defense envisioned under President Reagan's Star Wars dream. There are only about 36 missiles. And in the 17 full-blown tests since 1997, the payload has destroyed its target just a little over half the time. As of now, the U.S. defense system could probably handle an initial North Korean nuclear capability, say proponents. The problem is whether it could keep up if Pyongyang develops as many as 100 nuclear warheads by 2020, as predicted. Lawmakers, such as Senator Dan Sullivan of Alaska, think the U.S. needs to look harder at expanding the system. In the meantime, U.S. cyber efforts may be aimed at destabilizing North Korea's rocket programs.
Say you want to get into a new line of work, but don't have the resources to shift direction. That's when frustration can build. We thought it was noteworthy that in Latin America, a tech training group is looking at that problem as an opportunity and is opening new doors to women as a result.
Latin America today is home to 20 million ninis, ni estudian ni trabajan. This refers to young people who neither study nor work, reports the Monitor's Whitney Ulick. Two-thirds of those ninis are women who already face challenges entering well-paid careers, and dropping out of school doesn't help. But Laboratoria, a lab pioneering a new model of job training, has spotted a potential opportunity: tech jobs. While prestigious, they rely on specific skill sets, and they are betting that women don't need a traditional education to learn them. So far, the organization has trained 400 women in front-end coding and asks that participants contribute only about $15 for their first 6 months of training. It's boosted grads' confidence and their salaries. Three-fourths are employed and earn on average three times what they did before the program. At a time when many students sense a disconnect between education and job training, Laboratoria may be building a much-needed bridge.
And now, commentary from the Monitor's editorial board. President Trump's hope for talks with North Korea may not be unfounded. There are other examples of U.S. adversaries that moved away from violence and threats toward more healthy relationships. For example, the United States and other countries agreed to talk with Iran, finally reaching a deal in 2015 to curb its nuclear program. In Colombia, the rebel group FARC made major concessions after realizing how their own families were as much victims of useless violence as pro-government civilians. The Basque separatist group has rejected violence and is ready to talk. And while Hamas and Israel are a long way from negotiations, Israel does talk to the Palestinian Authority. Like President Barack Obama, Trump may believe that having negotiations with adversaries can make it easier for an enemy to shift positions. That's it for today. Thank you for taking the time to think more deeply about the day's news. We'll see you tomorrow, when we take a look at the upstart politician who would be France's next president. Next up is today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective on activism.
Every day, you can find news stories about activists. When people feel something is unjust or wrong, they protest. Certainly, wrongs should be righted. But there's a spiritual dimension that makes activism more powerful and effective. Yielding to God's all power and obediently following His lead results in spiritual strength and action that heals. This strength comes from humility and an understanding of one's relation to God. It inspires action that is secure and divinely led. As the great healer Christ Jesus said, "I can of mine own self do nothing." John 5:30. You can read this article about how one woman's concept of activism shifted by selecting the Christian Science Perspective link located at the bottom of any csmonitor.com webpage.
This report was produced by the Christian Science Monitor, copyright 2017.